This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, does broadcasting have soul? Tonight's guest, CBS television star Greg Morris, who plays the role of Barney on Mission Impossible. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. And now from Washington, D.C., Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. Tonight we are doing a Night Call special. I'm speaking from the convention of the NAEB, the National Association of Educational Broadcasters in Washington, D.C. 4,500 educational broadcasters are gathered here from all over the United States. They're asking each other, how can the networks of 350 educational and non-commercial radio and TV stations best serve the needs of the American public? On Night Call, we will look at one part of that question. How can educational broadcasting help solve the problems which must be solved by blacks and whites, working together, if we are to move forward as one nation, indivisible? Can educational stations speak to the entire nation as a network? Or should each station address itself only to the problems of its own community? And can these stations, supported by public funds, have a free voice of their own? Can they speak out when necessary against the source of their revenue? Our guest tonight is Mr. Greg Morris, better known to most of you as Barney, a member of the cast of the very exciting television series Mission Impossible. He's here with me right now at the NAEB convention. And as we always remind you on Night Call is your program. Our telephone number is once again, if you're calling in from New York, is 866-5010. If you're calling from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. And if you're calling from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. And we welcome our guest tonight, Mr. Greg Morris. Greg, thank you so much for being with us. How are you?
My pleasure, Dale. Thank you for inviting me.
Greg, let's begin our conversation tonight by posing the first question. Does public broadcasting have soul?
I think it does, and I think it's beginning to have more, and I think that the educational broadcasters are to be congratulated for stimulating interest and for provoking the staid, cynical, commercial broadcasting systems, as the layman would like to call them, into doing things that are more provocative.
Well, public broadcasting, but educational broadcasting has often been accused of taking too academic approach. What is your feeling about that?
I don't think there's such a thing as too academic an approach. I think it has taken an academic approach, which was not there before. And I think it's beginning to get soul. And if we want to put it where it really is, I think it's beginning to get to the nitty-gritty, because it has to. And I think commercial broadcasting is beginning to get to the nitty-gritty. And I think between the two of them, we will have a good thing going.
Do you feel that commercial broadcasting has been influenced by public broadcasting in any way?
Yes, I think that all broadcasting has been influenced by what has been happening in 1965, 1966, 67, 68, 69, etc. To try to pinpoint the greatest influences, I think we would then become academic and even pedantic. There are people in this country, a lot of people, who are saying, let's stop with the sociological terms, let's stop with the great phrases, and let's tell me answers and give me answers, and let's talk about things as they really are. And I think that this is what is happening to the mass media, period. I am always dismayed, very honestly, when we start to try to separate between educational broadcasting, public broadcasting, commercial broadcasting, motion pictures, television, stage, etc. This is one big mass media which owes a lot of things to the people. And I think that the sooner that we get to it and stop trying to do our own little individual selfish thing, the sooner that we will have a mass media that really is doing what, as far as a dictionary is concerned, the mass media is supposed to do.
Greg, may we talk for just a moment about your background? A lot of us who have seen you on the Mission Impossible series and have enjoyed your work as well as the work of the other members of the cast.
I want to know where I started.
Right?
How did you...
Oh, did you just come up? What'd you do before? Drive a truck?
No, I'm sorry. Seriously, no, but this is one of the things that I always get. What'd you do before you got into Mission? And I was a freelance actor who had done approximately 50 to 60 television shows as a featured player, a co-star, or a guest star. Television has a habit of swallowing up actors unless they are seen every week. I had done a great deal of stage. I've never worked on stage in New York, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because I'm like a lot of actors. I would love to do a Broadway show that is a hit. I was in motion pictures, and you notice I said that, right? No, because I was offered a couple of shows that I didn't figure would make it. But anyway, like everybody else, I paid some dues. I don't think what I went through is that important. I'm not minimizing what I went through. We know up front that everybody pays dues. Yes, I drove trucks, and I was a liquor store clerk, and I went to college, and I support a family, etc. But what is important is today to me.
This is Night Call, not in New York, but in Washington tonight, where we are attending the NAEB convention, the National Association of Educational Broadcasters, and our guest here with us tonight in Washington at the Park Sheraton Hotel is Mr. Greg Morris, and we're very happy because we also have for the first time very much of a live audience who is sitting in. We shall immediately go to our phone calls, and a reminder once again of our phone calls, or our phone numbers, rather. In New York, it's 866-5010 if you're calling in from New York, and if you're calling from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. And if you're calling from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, Night Call is your program. We welcome your comments, your conversation, and your calls collect. We'll take our first call, a local call from New York. Mr. Cantor is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Cantor?
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, sir.
And good evening, Greg. I want to address myself to the problem of foundations and educational broadcasting. As an intellectual New Yorker, put that in quotes, I happen to listen to Pacifica Radio in New York, i.e. WBAI, quite frequently. And their main complaint about accepting any contributions from foundations is that the foundations in turn become exactly as bad as the sponsors, and they turn out to be as restrictive and as faggy and as totally uneducational as many of the sponsored stations. And that's one thing I'd like to ask you about. Hello?
Well, I don't quite understand the question, Mr. Cantor.
I want to know whether you feel that foundations are just as bad as commercial sponsors when it comes to your restrictiveness.
Greg, what do you think about that?
Well, I think they can be. I think that what we have to do And when I say we...
I can't hear you, Mr. Morris.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
No, not very well.
Can you hear me now?
There.
How about that, Bob? All right. No, I think that when we start to talk about foundations and federal grants, etc., everyone has an aim. Whether foundations are as bad as sponsors, who is to say? I think this, now you would have to be more specific. You would have to talk about a specific sponsor and a specific foundation. But obviously, there is no foundation that is about to come up with money to sponsor a show, because a foundation is a sponsor. Once you start to donate money, or once you start to say, here is $50,000 or 50 cents, regardless of the amount of money, to keep you on the air, there is an ultimate aim by that foundation. Now, what has to be done, and you're now talking about utopia, you're talking about idealism, which is marvelous, but what has to be done, what you're asking for, what the question being posed, not by you, but by a lot of people, is being posed, is why don't you donate the money and walk away? Now, how many foundations or sponsors will do that? Once you accept that money to either sponsor a show, a television show, a radio station, an actor, or whatever, you must accept the fact that that foundation or those persons coming up with money are going to want to be able to come up with some kind of control. Now, if you accept that fact up front, you now go from there.
Well, as far as whether the sponsors should stay in or go out, if you ever look at Latin, you can see that in comparison to its competitor, i.e. the Smothers Brothers, you can see that there is definitely a very little restrictiveness within Latin. In comparison,
now, wait a minute, you're talking about, I'm sorry, I must beg to differ with you. Pardon me, sir. Mr. Cantor, may I say this?
CBS is interfering.
Wait a minute, you're talking about, hold it, you're talking about two different things. You're talking about two different formats. Number one, the format of Laugh-In is one kind of format. The format of Smothers Brothers is another kind of format. Wait a minute, you were talking, you were talking about two different networks. You were talking about different sponsors. We happen to have, for example, on Mission Impossible, we happen to have a sponsor that we all admire. And I will have to ask Mr. Dell Shields, may I mention his name?
Without a doubt.
Thank you. It is the Philip Morris Corporation. We love the Philip Morris Corporation, if for no other reason than they are a sponsor who leaves us alone. But you were you cannot take two shows and try to compare them. If you're going to go to school with things like this, you must take every sponsor, every show, every situation, whatever the Smothers Brothers have tried to do, I don't know. Nobody really knows. Nobody really knows what Laugh-In has tried to do, taking your two shows. Whether Slater and Martin, or Slatter and Friendly, I'm sorry, who are the producers of Laugh-In, have tried to do something different from what the Smothers Brothers have tried to do, this you have to know first-handedly. You cannot start to generalize and start to try to talk about what is happening 4,000 miles away from you.
Excuse me. Shall I call you Gregor, Mr. Morris?
Pardon me?
Shall I call you Gregor, Mr. Morris?
Help yourself. Please call me Greg. I hate
Greg,
Mr. Morris.
Okay. I hate Mr. Cantor, too. I'll be frank with you.
We're both basically masochists.
I'd like to know, really, what would happen, say, to Mission Impossible if you had a show on where you had the bad guy trying to flood the schools with cigarettes or something of that nature and get everybody... tripping on cigarettes and be a satire on stuff about China trying to get the kids to smoke pot and LSD and everything.
Mm-hmm. What are you asking me?
What would Philip Morris say? Would they still continue to be your sponsor?
They will be there. They love our show. They love the format of the show. You see, you are trying to pinpoint it down to a particular little picayune-ish point, if I may say so. Let's talk about what you were talking about in the very beginning. A sponsor sponsors a show. Number one, and let's be realistic. Let's not try to be in utopia. A show is sponsored by a sponsor because that company believes it will best advance their image and their product.
Yeah.
Now there are many people who get paid a great deal of money to do these things, but to try to go between a foundation and a sponsor, before you start to even try to argue this question or even pose the question, you cannot talk about generalities. You must have in your mind specifics about what foundations, about what sponsors, about what shows, and go to school with these points 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 before I happen to believe, and let me say this because I'm saying I'm not speaking for a profession or for an industry or for a race of people. I am speaking my opinion. Before you can start to pose these questions, you have to have gone to school with them specifically, not generally, and not gone by what some magazine or some newspaper or magazines and newspapers, etc., have written, but what you have found out to be true by comparison. Now you can go to school with it.
Mr. Kenna, thank you so much for calling,
surely,
sir. This is Night Call in New York, originating tonight from Washington, D.C. We'll return to our guest, Mr. Greg Morris, following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest CBS television star Greg Morris after station identification.
The year 2000 is a little more than a generation away. For our cities, the question is precisely this. Will the new millennium mark a celebration or a wake? If you think you can sit snug in a suburban split level while the cities slide downhill, you're only kidding yourself. Slums won't stop at the city line any more than commuters do. What happens to our cities happens to our suburbs. Together, we can remake our cities. We will. We must. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder.
Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in North America to guest co-star Greg Morris of Mission Impossible about Does Broadcasting Have Soul? Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to Night Call tonight, our conversation, Does Broadcasting Have a Soul? And our guest sitting with us tonight right here in Washington is the CBS television star, Mr. Greg Morris, who plays the role of Barney on Mission Impossible. We'll take our next call from Flint, Michigan. Mr. Dean is hearing Night Call over WMRP. Mr. Dean? Mr. Dean? Mr. Dean? Mr. Dean?
Hello, Dale. How are you?
How are you? I lost you for a moment.
Yes,
I
noticed.
You had me shook up. How are you?
Mr. Morris.
Yes.
We still, even though in the last couple of years, have seen the advent of increased number of Negro actors on television, we still can count them on two hands. And my question is this. Is it just now that television is beginning to notice these fine and talented people? Have they been blindly ignoring them for the last few years, or is it just that they have just started to come into being?
Well, that's a wild question. No, it is not just now, because you cannot blame this on a television network. Let me put it this way. It is just now that you people in Flint, Michigan, the people in Biloxi, Mississippi, in Columbus, Ohio, Podunk, Iowa, and wherever have begun to say, we want to see. That's what has happened. What has happened is when Bill Cosby became a hit, the public said, we dig him. And they didn't dig Bill Cosby because he was black. They dug him because he is a damn fine performer. Now, everybody wants to say that it is Bill Cosby's advent that did everything for the black performer. I think America is going to school with itself. Yes, there have been a lot of good black performers around for a lot of years. If you don't believe me, you ask a lot of good white performers where they learned it. And you ask a lot of comedians, who was Burt Williams? A man who had to blacken his face because he was too light. No, these actors didn't just come up in the last couple of years. I'm a young actor in the business, considering. I've been a professional for 7 years. I know a lot of guys and a lot of actresses who paid a lot of dues. But we are now going to school with the fact, I have been told by producers, by directors, by writers in Hollywood, that it was not a sin of commission, because nobody really committed a sin, but it was a sin of omission. They just didn't think. Thanks to a lot of push by the NAACP and a lot of other organizations, and by a demand by the black and white public, and if you notice, I include both of them, now it is becoming more and more, let's find the best actor. And the actors you are now seeing are not guys who came up 6 months ago. They've been around a long time.
I see. We've noticed this season, with the advent of a new show, unfortunately on another network than yours.
Sorry, we're all together. We're all making money. What can I tell you?
We've enjoyed your performances many times, Mr. Morris, and
thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you, Dal.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Our conversation tonight does Broadcasting House Soul. Our guest is Mr. Greg Morris, one of the stars of the very successful television series Mission Impossible. We'll take our next call from Kingston, Pennsylvania. Mrs. Lee is hearing Night Call over WBAX. Mrs.
Good
Lee?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
And Mr. Shields, am I speaking to now?
Yes, ma'am.
And may I correct you that I am not from Kingston, I am from 44, Pennsylvania.
From where, ma'am?
44, Pennsylvania.
44, would you forgive me?
A very historical town.
Thank you, ma'am.
And I'd like to say to Mr. Morris, if I may direct to him, I disagree that he has to fight so strongly for the Negro. I have watched him on Mission Impossible, and if I may talk to Mr. Morris, I think he's one of the finest actors going.
Thank you very much.
At this present time.
Thank you.
But I don't think he has to make any apologies. I think he did it on his own. I think that there are many great performers that we here in a very small town admired long before Mr. Morris came along, and that was, for instance, a Pearl Bailey. I don't think anyone
well,
being in the
she's
United
been
States
around
America.
A while, and she's been doing some good things.
I cannot hear you too well, sir.
She's been around a while, and she's
Isn't
been a star
fabulous?
For a long time.
I think that anyone, and you know, just recently, sir, we're not let's say we're just common people in the United States of America, and I think one of our local companies here had a busload to New York, and Miss Bailey had the privilege of coming out and making the people feel so at home. I don't think that the Negro today has to apologize for anything. I think that they are great performers, and they prove themselves. And Mr. Morris, this is such a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank
and
you. May I say this?
Yes, sir.
I have never apologized to anybody in my life.
I don't think you have to. I think your performance, and I'll tell you one thing, the biggest complaint with me is that I can't get my children to bed.
That's good. Let them stay up. Make them take a nap
because
in the afternoon.
When you're on, sir, I don't know how you do these things, and I know it's a Hollywood trick. But
no, it's not. Let me say this, and I say this very humbly and very modestly.
Oh, not...
I am basically a genius.
Don't say that. You very well. You convinced me what my children say. You've done very well, but continue, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Night Call, originating tonight from Washington, D.C. We're at the conference Or the convention, rather, of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters.
Might turn into a conference.
Well, I think we will. Mr. Morris, may we talk for just a moment about Mission Impossible? Do you view Mission Impossible as an educational series, or is there anything...
Dale, I think you're in the wrong field. Why don't you become a comic?
Yeah.
No. No, we're very proud of the show. I was coming down in the elevator this evening and was stopped by a sister who said to me that she loved the show, but she was also very glad that we used very little violence. This is one of the premises of the show.
She used a lot of tricks.
Oh, of course, we steal and cheat, but we don't use violence. You know, there's a different thing. You know. But, no, there are a lot of things about the show of which we are proud and why we are glad. And I mean this. It sounds like a Hollywood cliche to say, but I think the best way I can describe our show is we are all glad to go to work on Monday morning. And I know very few actors, I know very few people who feel that way. Educational, no. We are glad to entertain if there is an education out of it in a subtle, almost subliminal kind of way. That's fringe benefits as far as we're concerned.
We'll take our next call from Kingston, Pennsylvania. Oh, no, we just finished Kingston. I'm sorry. Started to get into 44 Pennsylvania tonight. All right, from Baltimore, Maryland, Mr. Sokolov is hearing Night Call over WAMU. Mr. Sokolov?
Sir, I'd like to ask a question. Does a successful actor, black or white, have any possibility of changing an image for a show such as Mission Impossible? Do you have conferences between the actor and directors, sponsors, and why the tone of the show? Could you tell me what it is?
Well, you don't change an image. When you start with a show, you start, which is a favorite phrase of mine, I guess that came out of Vegas, because I lost so much money, I don't know. But you start up front with an image. For example, when we first started the show, I had a conference with our exec producer, creator, Bruce Geller, for 3 hours, talking to him about who he saw Barney Collier as being. He created the show. I knew who I thought Barney was. And we had a meeting of the minds. Now, when you start with that, and when you start with the concept of the show, there is no need to change unless you have started with the wrong concept. Fortunately for us, we obviously have started with the right concept because it is accepted by the public. Not accepted, because that sounds like tolerated, but it is acclaimed by the public. It is also acclaimed by our industry. When an actor starts, if an actor starts and tries to change boats in the middle of the stream, he's in trouble. He has to know where he is. An actor happens to be no different, really, than any average person. If the average person starts out and has to keep making changes, he's in trouble because he didn't put his mind together in the beginning. An actor has to do this in the beginning. We all have to do this as people.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call, originating tonight in Washington, D.C., and our conversation tonight, Does Broadcasting Have Soul? Our guest is Mr. Greg Morris of Mission Impossible. We'll return to our guest and more calls right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest CBS television star Greg Morris after station identification. Next week on Night Call, a black South African expert on apartheid, a Jewish expert on the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, the founder and former head of the Congress for Racial Equality, a San Francisco minister to tell us what we have to be thankful for on Thanksgiving night, and psychoanalyst Eric Frome. Monday, South African political science professor Winton Nagin from Virginia Polytechnic Institute. Tuesday, social worker novelist Julius Horowitz. His latest book is called Lost. Wednesday, James Farmer. Thursday, the Reverend Cecil Williams, minister of community involvement for the Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco.
And Friday, Eric Fromm on Hope and Love. All this next week on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest co-star Greg Morris of Mission Impossible about Does Broadcasting Have Soul? All Night Call collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Dell Shields.
And welcome to the Night Call stations who join us nightly for the second half hour. Tonight our conversation, Does Broadcasting Have Soul? And our guest in our in-person appearance here in Washington, D.C. is one of the stars from Mission Impossible, Mr. Greg Morris. We'll begin this half hour by going to Bowling Green, Ohio. Mr. Studenka is hearing Night Call over WFOB. Mr. Studenka?
Yes, I can hardly hear you, though.
Well, I can hear you.
Okay, if I call you Greg?
That's Dale, I'm Greg.
All right, well, I was reading today this article in Playboy with an Eldridge Cleaver, the revolutionary leader of the Black Panthers.
Yes.
And to me, he seems to be rather prejudiced, and he keeps asking for these social goals and aims and whatnot. And then asked when whether or not he would take them, he seems to contradict himself and say no, or that he thinks the black populace has their power in the slums, and with this unity in the slums, they have their power and whatnot. And I was just wondering, to what extent do you think that the television media can make the black slum population more aware of the need for education and desire to achieve their goals than the power resulting from unity and violence? And to what degree do you think television media could help bring this about?
You just opened up a whole can of peas. First of all, let me say that I just read an article in Los Angeles in the Times about one of Mr. Cleaver's speeches, and I'm not talking about whether I agree with him or disagree with him.
Right.
One of the major points was that any black or white person who believes in separatism in this country is crazy, number one. Number two, if you go to school with the facts, sir, over the past 400 years, I think Mr. Cleaver has a little reason to be prejudiced in favor of the black man. Number three, you were talking about a very intelligent, articulate man who, unfortunately, as far as the power structure is concerned, happens to speak every now and then in the street vernacular. So they happen to cop out and rationalize and say, well, he's an ex-con. Get it together, because he's a very bright man. You ask me about television. I think what television has to do is more of what it's been doing. There are many black actors and actresses who are more and more becoming co-stars on television. I could probably sit here and reel off to you at least 10 shows. I'm quite sure that you're aware of all of them. But in terms of what television must do, I challenge television and any network, mine included, and any educational television network to come up with a 26-week Black History series. And I guarantee you that if anybody goes to school in a library for 15 minutes, they've got to come out with 5 years. Pardon me. You are talking about what it is necessary for the black person in the slums.
Right.
It is equally important for the white child in Westchester County, in Bel Air, in Brentwood, in Virginia, or anywhere else to see a black child using a particular type of toothpaste as it is for a black child. We are talking about 1968, when we have black, white, yellow, green, purple, chartreuse people in this country. And when we stop going to school with that thing of what are we going to do for the black man, and what about the Mexican, and hey, let's get the Massachusetts or whatever. Let's talk about America. Everybody talks about law and order and waves the flag and all that garbage. But let's go to school with what people we have in this country and believe the fact that we have 200 million people, only probably 0.1% of whom ain't happy to be here. Now let's do something about it.
Right. You were mentioning this program on Black history.
Mm-hmm.
And what with today's society as it is, and what we can't help is just our ignorance, you might say, do you think any television network would be willing to put on this program?
Willing? Hell, they ain't got no choice. They got to get up off it and do it.
Do you think they will?
We'll see, baby. It's up to you.
True.
May I add this, just before you depart?
Sure.
Much of the decisions made by the Madison Avenue people and the people in the networks is generally dependent upon their feeling as to how the public is going to react. Now, if the public itself decides that they are willing to come to a moment of truth and they would like to see a Black History series, or they would like to see more Greg Morris's or more Diane Carroll's or more Bill Cosby's or whatever, when the public decides that they would like to see this, if they would make their presence felt, the same way that they can write and protest whenever they feel that they see something that is against them. I think NBC suffered this over this past Sunday when they cut out 1 minute of the Jets football game, and they received like thousands of phone calls. This is because this was something that affected them personally. They wanted to see the outcome of the ball game, and they couldn't see it.
Right.
Now, if that same kind of support or that same kind of action was given to the networks and saying, hey, look, let's really make television viable, let's really make it an example of what American life should be or can be, then there'll be some changes made.
May I say this, Del? I couldn't agree with Del more. And I think, you know, that what he has said is something else again. We have corporations like Xerox that did the Bill Cosby special on CBS, etc. And let me say, as one who performs in television, who knows about this, that those letters are read by network people. And it is up to those of you who view it, who have the Nielsen boxes and whatever on your television set, if you are honest and you want to say, hey, I want to know about Black history, I will watch. Because you must first admit the fact that commercial television, commercial radio, is built upon money. If a sponsor realizes that he's going to get 40 million people a week watching a prime, I'm not talking about a Negro history program that's going to be on at 6 o'clock Sunday morning. I am talking about from 8 to 9 o'clock on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday night. If he knows, because that man's there to make money, if he knows that there will be people watching that show, you'll find sponsors for it.
Right, but the only problem is this day and age is to get the same enthusiasm for the Black History program that we do for sports.
That's
the main problem, you might say.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a challenge, sir.
All right.
You sit down, write a letter, and say, I want it, and take two people with you. You can start it.
All right.
I challenge you
to
that. Right. Pick it up and go with it.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Right.
Thank you. This is Night Call, tonight originating from Washington, D.C. at the convention of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters, and we're delighted to be here tonight, and our guest, Mr. Greg Morris, who's proving, of course, that broadcasting is not impossible. And we'll take our next call from...
Oh, boy. Wrote your own material, right? Yeah.
Oh, listen, they wouldn't give me a job on Mission. we'll take our next call from Mount Vernon, Washington. Mr. Nelson is hearing Night Call over WVOW. Mr. Nelson?
My question is, you've been talking a lot about racism, and since you are Black, I'd like to know if you feel that the views that you're expressing adequately express those of other people of your own race.
Mr. Nelson, I'm going to ask you to hang up because we're having some disturbance on your line, and Mr. Morris will answer you. Thank you for calling, sir. The question posed to us by Mr. Nelson calling in from WUOW is whether or not the views that we are expressing are those for the entire race or are the individual expressions. Mr. Morris, I'll ask you to answer first.
Yes, Mr. Shields. First of all, Mr. Nelson used the phrase, and he said we have been talking about racism. I don't believe that we have talked about racism yet. Number one, I think that we go to school with too many of these little phrases that we read in the paper where nobody has mentioned racism. Are we speaking for a race of people? No. I am not speaking for a race of people. I am speaking for Greg Morris. I am fortunate enough to have the opportunity to express my personal opinions. I am not speaking for the NAEB. I am not speaking for the CBS television network. I am not speaking for a profession. I am not speaking for an industry, and I'm not a race of people. I am speaking for me. How do I feel? You've heard how I feel. I think that when we start, there are two verbs to me that are the most important verbs in our language. One of them is to care, and that is to care honestly. That is to stop lying to ourselves. That is to stop being hypocritical. That is to stop rationalizing and becoming sociologically articulate. It is, let's get to the nitty-gritty. The other verb that to me is the most important is to listen. A lot of us hear. Damn few of us listen. Listen, try to listen to your fellow worker. Listen to what he says. Listen to the ring in his voice. We don't listen. When we start to care and not pay lip service to caring, but honestly start to care, and when we start to listen to each other, then we will have half of the battle licked. And I never talk about racism, because that's a negative word. And I grew up thinking positive. That's the only way I know how to fly.
And if I may just add a point on to what Greg has said so very beautifully. First, to Mr. Nelson, we apologize because the station you're listening to is KUOW, and we were just informed about this. Frank Sinatra said yesterday or the day before that he was going to leave Los Angeles because he no longer liked the smog there and whatever else was taking place. And Mr. Sinatra spoke for himself. When George Wallace decided that he felt that law and order should return to America and he wanted to turn back America to where it was before, wherever that was, he spoke for himself and just a few people. One of the problems that we have in this day and age is that any time that a black personality, anytime a black personality speaks, immediately people set him up as a leader. One of the problems that we've had in this communications industry is that we have been the victims of creating instant leaders. A black man can stand on the corner and say, I will burn down the city, and everybody comes out from the television media and from the radio media, from the entire communications field, and they make this man look as though he is a responsible spokesman. They do not consider that this man is only speaking for himself or perhaps just a small contingent. And this is one of the difficulties, I think, in the same situation of Mr. Morris, who is an accomplished and very fine actor. He is a performer. And when he speaks on by using the communications media, immediately people say, well, he is a leader. Mr. Morris speaks only for himself. It is the same situation of Adele Shields, who was a host of a show. I speak for Adele Shields. And we should not be victimized. We should not be accused of being leaders. We should not be forced to be placed in this kind of position where we are unfortunately designated as responsible leaders. We are not. We are spokesmen for ourselves. There are some recognized leaders in this country. There are some recognized leaders of the blacks, the same way they are recognized leaders of the whites. But one of the faults that we have with this entire situation is that generally one black man, it is assumed that he speaks for the whole 22 million, and this is wrong. This is Night Call in New York, and we'll take our next call from Omaha, Nebraska. Mrs. Lorenz is hearing Night Call over KBON. Mrs. Lorenz?
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening. It's certainly a privilege to have this fine actor on. I think that the Soul Show was particularly outstanding, and I'm sure everyone enjoys it, and also Black Journal, which comes on our educational station in color. It will be on Monday, and these are always outstanding, but there is one question perhaps you could answer. The host, or one of the hosts, who signs off each time uses a phrase in another language. Do you know what he is saying?
Mm, No, I'm sorry, I don't, because I have never seen the show. I don't know whether it's
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, I don't. I don't know whether it's Swahili.
Well, perhaps we'd have a little more soul if we knew exactly what he is.
Well, my suggestion, Mrs. Lorenz, would be to write a note or write a letter to NBC and ask them what it is, and I'm more than sure that they'll give you an answer.
Well, I certainly am going also to write to the stations, because I know we all are thrilled to see the extraordinary talent that we have seen on some of these shows, and it's not. I love your program.
Thank you
for calling.
Yes, indeed. Good night.
Thank you, ma'am. This is Night Call, originating in Washington, D.C. Our guest, Mr. Greg Morris. Our conversation tonight, does broadcasting have soul? We'll return right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest CBS television star Greg Morris after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, can television news tell it like it is, with a representative of that relatively rare breed, the Black Network news correspondent, Bob Teague of NBC News. The Colonel Report charged that television news, as well as radio and print journalism, was not telling it like it is, and gave all of them a major share of the blame for last year's riots, saying that in the future they'd better do a better job, because an uninformed black public would give us all much more of the same. The Colonel Report also urged the media to accentuate the positive, to tell the black success stories, as well as reporting on violence in the ghetto. But can that sell soap or underarm deodorants? Doesn't the viewing public depend on television news just as it does on professional football for a little vicarious bloodshed to keep life interesting? Can television news tell it like it is? With Bob Teague of NBC News, tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest co-star Greg Morris of Mission Impossible about does broadcasting have soul? All Night Call collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to Night Call, originating tonight from Washington, D.C. We're at the convention of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters, and our conversation tonight does broadcasting have a soul, and a very fine guest and a very delightful young man. We're so happy that he's with us tonight, Mr. Greg Morris of Mission Impossible. Greg, just before we go to our additional callers, we have people standing by in Greensboro, North Carolina, and Santa Fe, New Mexico, but you had a statement you wanted to make.
Yes, I just want to say very briefly, because this is my first time on the show, and I say to you, Del Shields, I congratulate you for this show, and I want you to know that I have not been as stimulated on an interview show in a long, long time, and I think it's all because of you. Put that red handkerchief down.
Thank you so very much, Greg, really. Now, let's go out to Greensboro, North Carolina. Mr. Sturtevant is hearing Night Call over WAAA-FM.
Hello?
Mr. Sturtevant?
Yes, this is Mo Sturtevant in Greensboro, North Carolina.
How are you, sir?
Fine. And I enjoy listening to the show tonight. And I would just like to say to Mr. Morris that I enjoy Mission Impossible very much.
Thank you very much. I went to school in your town.
Why is it that we do not get a chance to see him perform and really show his acting ability to a great extent? And I do realize that he is a very good actor, but it seems that he's not given a chance to really, you know, show his television audience how well he really can perform. He's mostly in the background performing his skill on the program. And I would just, I would like to know why is it that a program has been, presented where we could really see him perform,
You don't feel that the series is actually showing him to the best advantage? Is this your question?
Yeah, I feel that he's being shown to the best advantage, but I do not feel that he's given a chance to show it enough.
Well, we'll ask Mr. Morris about that.
Well, thank you very much. I must say that I disagree with you, because I think I am. My character is the electronics genius. Yes, I have TB, sir. Would you pat me on the back again? Thank you very much. That's called consumption. No, my character is the technical genius. And while the other characters are doing what they are doing at parties or doing their thing in makeup, etc., it is my job, as my character, to finagle with the gimmicks, to reroute trains, to blow up, to do whatever. I knew this in the very beginning, and I had turned down 3 television series before I accepted this one, because I saw a way to go with this. You would be surprised, probably, to realize that over the past 3 years, I have played a con man, an 85-year-old man, complete with 2 hours worth of makeup, a boxing two-parter where I played the champion of the world, a European clown where the makeup also took me 2 hours, a West Indian rabble-rousing student. There is a show coming up in which I play a West Indian chef. There are a lot of characters that I have played. And I must say to you, sir, that I thank you for feeling that I have not been shown off enough, because what it says to me is that what I am doing in a tunnel, in a train, in a basement, is believable enough to you that this is what you remember. And I say this to you very honestly, this is what an actor works for. And I must say to you that this is a backhanded compliment to me. Thank you.
Sir, just before you go, I want to add one point. I think we should concern ourselves with formats of shows. I heard the same comment stated about Bill Cosby on the I Spy series. There were a lot of black people who felt that Bill Cosby was not being shown to the best advantage. This year, Julie with Miss Diane Carroll, I've heard some black people say, well, the little boy is upstaging her, and like, we don't really dig the show because there's
and
no black man involved.
Do that.
So I think we have to think in terms of format and think in terms of what the man is doing within the context of the character that he is playing. And if we understand that, I think that we will not be too quick to criticize, although I too accept it as a compliment for what Mr. Morris is doing.
I did not want you to misunderstand what I was trying to say.
No, I didn't misunderstand. I just didn't want the audience to misunderstand. I know
no,
what you're saying.
And I must say, if I may, Dale. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to know if he would ever be given a chance to really, you know, come out in the light and perform his acting. So one could get a chance to really see him, as an actor, and really, you know.
Yes, well, I'm about to do a special, probably sometime within the next 2 weeks.
About it. I do feel he is doing a good job, and I understand what his role is on television, but I would like to see him a little more.
Thank you. No, I understand that, and believe me when I say that I can think of no greater compliment, to an actor than to say, I would like to see more of you. It is a tremendous compliment, and I wish for you to know, sir, that I accept it as just that, a compliment, and believe me when I say that I will ride back on the plane back to Los Angeles thinking about that compliment. I mean it honestly.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call, originating in Washington, D.C. tonight at the convention of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters, and our conversation tonight is, does broadcasting have soul? And our guest sitting with us tonight before a live audience, and this is the first time we've ever had a live audience. It's kind of nice to see.
And looking around here, it's very live. Yes,
very
indeed.
We'll take our next call from Santa Fe, New Mexico. I hope I'm going to pronounce the caller's name correctly. Mr. Macaroni, hearing Night Call over KGGM.
Life is serious enough. You might need not make it more so. You can call me Macaroni, yes indeed. My name is Macaroni originally. I'm known as Aldo Ferrante, a man of character, a man who's known as an eccentric. It's in that book called The Red Sky in the Morning. There's an Italian a lovable eccentric. Now, may I ask a question? And but before I ask the question, may I state categorically that 18 years ago, long before there was ecumenical councils, long before there were riots in the streets, I had caused two young lovers, one white and one Negro, to use my studio in New London, Connecticut, in a little green street. And a city where Eugene O'Neill and Edwin Booth and so on lived one time or another, acted or wrote. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I was waiting for your question, sir.
Can you consider this man Weaver so intelligent as to have to ignore the fact that we have already been denied of two president perspectives, or one already president and the other prospective president, slaughtered by fanatics from other lands possibly, and at any rate, how can you conceive of a man to want to deny the life of a man who has struggled for years to represent the people of the United States?
Thank you for calling, sir.
The enemies within this nation and
thank you,
this nation.
Mr. McEmoney, thank you so much for calling. This is Night Call in New York, this time out to Columbus, Ohio. Mr. Armstrong is calling in from WLSU. Mr. Armstrong?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, or good morning.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Yes. I'd like to ask Mr. Morris, since we're talking about soul in broadcasting, is it your experience, Mr. Morris, that an actor can interject or project his own personality or views into a characterization, or is he bound by the script? And do you assert your ideas on Barney and Mission?
I think I can answer both of those questions together, at least I hope I can. Once an actor, I believe, again, this is my opinion, once you accept a role, you no longer have the right to be political. Because as a thinking person and as a thinking actor, you have to have studied that character. If there is something about that character which turns you off or which is completely opposite to what you personally believe and you believe as an actor, you cannot portray that character honestly, then you should not accept the role. Very briefly, I will cite an example. Some years ago, I was fortunate enough to co-star with Sammy Davis Jr. in a Ben Casey, in which I played a black nationalist doctor. I did not agree with that doctor's views as a person. However, I was not portraying Greg Morris. I was portraying that doctor. It was my duty, to the best of my ability, to portray that doctor. What I have done with Barney is, as I said before, I have talked with my executive producer. I know who Barney is. He has a pre-life. I know how he grew up, what his environments were, etc., etc., etc. These are the things that an actor must do. Once you get into a role, I do not believe an actor has the right to become political about it.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Night Call in New York. We have just about 15 seconds, and I want to say to our guest tonight, Mr. Greg Morris, we want to thank him so very much for being with us, and we thank you so much because we understand that you had a little slight accident last week attempting to...
I broke my neck.
...to do the impossible. Greg, thank you for being with us, and we want to thank all of the folks here at the NAAB for allowing us to be with you tonight. This is Delphi's in New York. Good night and peace.
The first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, Can Television News Tell It Like It Is? With correspondent Bob Teague of NBC News. Listen tomorrow night, discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.